Blog Talk Radio.
TM Hyman Live Talk Radio Show. TM Hyman Live Talk Radio Show. TM Hyman Live Talk Radio Show.
Lab TM Hyman Radio. What's going on, everybody? That was HD for President Touchdown. Social Lab. What's good? 917-889-3926. 917-889-3926. Hey, our special guest tonight, King Jaquel. He's pulling up to talk about a new project, A War on Friendly Ground. Short film he's actually received an award from. Actually depicting his personal story, which we'll talk about tonight. He is an actor, he's an author, man, and he's a dynamic speaker. It's King Jaquel hanging out with us tonight here on the Social Lab. What's good on the other side of the ATL? Hot chocolate was cracking.
Big
weekend. Listen, I was in New York City doing some things, and you was here in the ATL doing some things. Hey, happy birthday to Big Mo. I see y'all partying over the weekend.
The celebration for our friend Edwin, a.k.a. Mo Better, was
Mo Better.
short of noodle. I can't even come up with a better adjective to describe how awesome
noodles.
That party was. It was great. Actually, the whole weekend was fantastic. Just seeing people that I hadn't seen in years, not even just due to the pandemic, just due to, you know, life and relocating and, you know, people moving on and going different places with their careers and jobs and lives. And Mo brought us together. It was a beautiful event, beautiful event.
No doubt. Always love when we can get together to celebrate life. Again,
no
happy birthday, Mo Better.
Yeah.
You know, and you know, significant trip to
DJ SNS industry. Has that thing on tilt. Oh my goodness!
Wow.
DJ SNS and Mike Meezy. Shout out to the selectors for the evening. There was one more. I apologize. His name escapes me right now. But those three gentlemen definitely made my feet hurt in a great way.
Yeah, Mr. DJ, excuse her. She forgets your name. Blame it on the alcohol.
I apologize. Please
917-889-3926. It's the Social Lab. Hey, Jeff Water, our special guest tonight, King Jaquel. He's pulling up to talk about his new project on War on Friendly Ground. We're going to go ahead and jump right into it. What's good, my dude? Welcome to the show, man.
Welcome.
Man, first of all, I just want to thank y'all for this amazing platform and doing what y'all do and having me on y'all's show. So y'all don't understand, I'm humbly grateful. I promise y'all better put in your seatbelt. We about to go on a wild ride. You're looking out for the love.
Hey, let's,
well, let's
do it,
go.
Bro. This is this can become a wild show, you know. Sometimes, but hey, before we get started, let's just shout out all of our Olympic winners, those representing the U.S. and representing us well out there. You know, man,
no doubt.
The Olympics. I never had like dreams of representing us in the Olympics. You know, I mean, there's some people that, you know, they've dreamed of representing us, right? I've never had those dreams. But, you know, shout out to those who did. I mean, I think we have a few gold medals right now, I believe. I
yeah,
know we have.
Actually, I think we're in the lead in the medal count.
Yeah, I mean, quite a few medals. I'm not keeping up with how many. Does anyone want to attempt to give us an update? Because I'm trash right now when it comes to the Olympic count.
Give me one quick.
Okay, well, you check for us. You check for us, and you'll give us an update shortly. We'll go ahead and jump right into it. Hey, it's 9:07 here in ATL, 6:07 in Los Angeles, California. Hey, thanks for joining us tonight, everybody. It's the Social Lab TM Hyman Radio, your boy TM. And our special guest tonight, again, my brother. Yo, I met this guy on Clubhouse, and he is absolutely dynamic. He's already given us a disclaimer to put on our seatbelt because, I mean, you know, the kid is pretty saucy. You know, got to say, the kid is pretty saucy. His story is personal. I think it's heartfelt, but, yo, he's full of substance. So, brother Jaquel, King Jaquel, go ahead and introduce yourself to our audience who are listening all over the world.
Well, my name is King Jaquel Martin. I'm ecstatic to be here. I'm an actor. I'm an author. I'm a motivational speaker. I'm a director. And most importantly, man, I'm a child of God. So, hey, we about to whisper to your soul a little bit and just have some fun and have some conversations with the congregation and get y'all to look in the mirror.
Let's do it. We love God on this show, and we love accountability. We hold ourselves accountable, and we hold others accountable. You know what I'm saying? We don't make excuses for ourselves on this show, so we damn sure are not going to make no excuses for anybody else. Hey, let's go, bro. I mean, you know, you've actually, you know, been on one of my favorite shows. Happens to be Ballers. Love Ballers. Really anything Showtime. You know, HBO. HBO, I'm into it. But you know, you had an opportunity, but I think, you know, before we get into that, man, the War on Friendly Ground, what is that about? Because you recently received an award for your short film. Let's talk about it.
It's just a blessing. So the film is based off of my book, and the book is based off of my actual real life and what happened to me. So if you wanted to flip it and go backwards, the day that it actually happened to me, I never thought that I would be in the position that I am in today winning awards. So that's nothing but God, because the day that I was being assaulted by the police, which we'll get into, you never know why God allows certain things to happen. But if you keep him first, and you allow him to use you, then he might have something bigger in store. So we have to understand life is like a roller coaster. It's going to have its ups. It's going to have its downs. But while you're in the midst of the storm, you got to look for your blessing, because that's the place of growth. It's a lot of growth in the storm, because you can't have a testimony without the test. So the storm is the test to get to your testimony, so that way you can share that with the world, so you can be a blessing to someone else. We all have gifts. We all have love. We all go through storms. But once you pass the test, you get to be the testimony, which changes you into a lighthouse for all the lost seas that are at ship that need light. Your story is light. It's empowering to someone else, because you don't know what they're going through, and you don't know how your story is going to be a blessing to them. Told you, put your seatbelt on.
He sure did.
So where do y'all want to start? Y'all want to start with what happened? Y'all want to start at the end? Just let me know, and I got you.
Yeah. Just share. Share. What happened that actually, provided you a story that you're sharing today?
Yeah.
I could do that. So I was a military soldier. I went to Fort Benning for basic training. After basic training, I went to Fort Sam for AIT. After Fort Sam, I wind up going to Fort Hood. From Fort Hood, I went to Germany, Longstuhl, Germany. From Longstuhl, Germany is where the story begins. I was stationed in Columbia, South Carolina. I worked at Moncrief Hospital. I was a sergeant. I was a decorated soldier. I've won commander's cups. I've won awards in the military. I was soldier of the month, soldier of the quarter, so many different things, because I put my life on the line for my country, for what I thought my country stood for, which it stands for freedom, liberty, and justice for all. So I wanted to give my people, my culture, my family, and everything that I love freedom, liberty, and justice, because my mom served in the military before me, and she gave the military 24 years of her life. So into the story, I was one day at work, and I was doing a uniform inspection for my soldier, PFC Carlisle. Now, what a uniform inspection is just to make sure that their uniform is properly addressed. Their attire looks amazing before we do an award show. So after that, I was on my way home. I live maybe about 2 miles from the base. Once you cross the bridge, you'll turn into Quail Run. As I was coming home, like a normal day, I used to play semi-pro football. I played for the Carolina Titans. Shout out to Coach Jackson. There was an officer in my neighborhood. No big deal, because you see that all the time. So as I'm riding behind the officer going towards my house, parking lots are shaped like rectangles. So when he went into the rectangle first, I eventually went in after him. When we became parallel, I nodded my head as a gesture of hello, like a cowboy tipping his hat. The officer wrote in his report he felt like I was teasing him by bobbing my head towards him. I don't know what made him feel that way, and it ain't my responsibility. But as I was parking my car, I got out my car to go into my house where my ex was studying to become a nurse. As I'm walking to the door and I'm putting the keys in the door, I hear a car peel off. So I turn around to see what's going on. I see this officer running towards me. Mind you, this is the same officer who assaulted the young lady at Spring Valley High School who was sitting in her desk when he flipped her on her head and threw her across the classroom. This is the same young gentleman that went viral. My situation happened before hers, so this is why he wound up at the classroom and how it ties together. So when the officer runs up on me, he's like, hey, you, come here. I'm out here for a noise violation. Now, mind you, I live in a fourplex, right, in this apartment complex. I have a police officer that actually lived above me. And it's funny how God puts people in places at the right time. Now, the police officer wasn't home, but her mother was home. And I thank God for that woman who watched over me in the situation that was about to happen. So when he ran up, he was like, hey, you, come here. I'm out here for a noise violation. I said, well, it couldn't have been me. I just got home, sir. Give me your license and registration. No problem. I got out my documents. Now, mind you, I lost my picture license. But the DMV sent me a paper license, which is a legal document that you can drive on. So when I handed him my insurance, I handed him the paper license. He was like, what the hell is this? I said, dude, if you would just calm down, I'm a soldier. I just got back. And he cut me off. You will not address me as dude. I said, well, you address me by hey, you. He said, well, that's because I don't know your name. Well, hell, I don't know your name either. And next thing you know, he got pissed off. He football tackled me to the ground, started punching on me and beating on me. He starts making all these racial comments, how he's glad Johnny Cochran's dead, I'm nothing but another black statistic. So the police officer's mother, she runs downstairs to get my ex while she's in the house studying to be a nurse. As he's beating on me, she runs outside. She's like, oh, my goodness, what are you doing to my husband? I told her, stay back. I'm okay. So when I said that, I guess, like, the officer felt like he wasn't in control because I'm telling my ex to stay back and that I'm okay. So he brings out a whole can of mace, and he uses a whole can of mace on me. But because I was military trained, I closed my eyes. I held my breath. I buried my eyes in my arms so he couldn't spray it in my eyes. And because I didn't react like the normal civilian, he became even more violent. He became even more violent because he felt as if I was a threat to him. So he started punching me and kneeing me. Next thing you know, all the women and children that I used to take to my football games, they started coming out the house. So the officer got nervous. 1032, 1032, officer in distress, officer in distress. Now, I understand why the other officers arrived the way they arrived. My problem is when you're a police officer, you have training, and your job is to evaluate the situation before you do anything. If I'm a soldier and I go to war and I don't follow my training, I could be considered a terrorist because I didn't follow the Geneva Convention Code, because there's rules to how to conduct yourself when you're in a position of power. But the officer, Benjamin Fields, said, get her black ass, excuse my language. She got pictures of me. So he runs up on my wife. His name was Deputy Joseph Clark. He runs up on my wife and slams her into the police car. He puts her hands behind her head and cuffs her. After he detains her and her arms are in handcuffs behind her back, he picks her up by the back of her arms and slams her into the ground face first. Now, it's one thing for you to be a man and get beaten, to feel like you're a slave all over again, to feel like everything that your ancestors have done and that you were supposed to be protecting and putting your life on the line for has been stripped away from you. But it's another to watch the woman that you love get beat in front of you and you're handcuffed and there's nothing that you can do about it. There's no other different type of pain to know that you're supposed to be the covering for your wife and you can't cover her because the officer arrested you for the color of your skin. I can't tell you how much rage and how much anger I had, but there was a God put me in a position where I really couldn't do nothing besides scream out and call him, God, take care of us. Baby, everything's going to be okay. Everything's going to be okay. Are you all right? Are you all right? She's in tears, shaking her head to me. I'm going to be okay. I'm all right.
Okay, bro. Hey, let's pause for one. Let's pause for 1 minute because this right here is a very interesting situation. Folks, if you just tuned in, you are listening to the voice of our special guest, King Jaquel Martin. He's actually explaining about a personal encounter that led to a short film he's received an award from. It's called A War on Friendly Ground. This is an encounter really of, it sounds like, police brutality, an encounter of an angry cop that's kind of gone rogue. It's typical of what we've been seeing in our communities here in the United States of America. It's 9:18. When we return, King Jaquel Martin will continue to share his story. Man, this is a frustrating listen right here. It's a social lab. TMI Radio Show. Bro, your girl sounds like she is distressed right now, but continue.
Yeah. I apologize. I mean, it's horrible, but I'm going to show you how good God is. So sometimes God got to knock you all the way down to get you where you need to be. So we're going to get through this storm.
Indeed.
And when we get through the storm, we're going to celebrate in the rainbow, y'all. I promise you, I got you. So she's crying out. I said, hey, this is when the black female officer finally shows up. They start searching my wife, but they wasn't searching my wife. They were sexually assaulting my wife in front of me because an officer in training is supposed to do the back of their hands. And if a female officer is on the scene, they're supposed to allow the female officer to search her. But they treated the black female officer as if she wasn't even an officer. Several men searched her, claiming that they were looking for something. But all they were doing was just touching on her body. And to be a man and watch that, you don't know what that does to your brain and your heart and how it breaks your soul. I asked for the cell phone because she was taking pictures of the situation. The officer runs over and grabs the cell phone. And he says, I'll give you your cell phone back if you delete the pictures. Why would I delete the evidence of what you did to me? I ain't going to do nothing. I'm not deleting anything. So the officer takes the phone. He goes to his partner, and they start going through the pictures. As they're going through the pictures, they start deleting pictures. We had like around somewhere around 12-ish to 15 pictures that she took. By the time we got the phone back, there was only two pictures on the phone. Puts me in one police car. They put her in another police car, and then they called EMS. EMS had to come to the scene because they deployed Mace. And when EMS got there, this is how we got the young man's name. They said, we should have known it was Benjamin Fields again because he has a history of doing it. That's why he went viral. So we found out that the officer's name was Benjamin Fields. We found out that he was supposed to be out there looking for a white male flashing little kids. I don't know how he wound up messing with a black army soldier that put his life on the line for the country. So when he deleted the evidence or whatever else, they started putting us in the back of the paddy wagon. When they was putting us in the back of the paddy wagon, he tells my wife that he's going to take her to the hotel. I said, what'd you say to her? You heard me, and then he slams the door. Now, see, you got to be careful because sometimes in the South or somewhere all around the world, police officers really don't do their job, and sometimes they don't take you to the police station. Sometimes they take you out back to the woods. Now, I don't mean to disrespect any great officer that does their job right, but we're not talking about y'all. But what you're going to talk about is we're going to talk about the officers that conduct themselves as if they were birthed from the slave patrol because the police badge was birthed from the slave patrol. Those are the type of officers I'm addressing. How do we get racism out of something that was birthed from it? Because the slave patrol's job was to catch and hunt down black people. But we're going to continue forward. So the officer who happened to be white in the front of the paddy wagon heard the comment, and he wrote a statement for us. He took us down to the police station. When we got to the police station, I'm walking in my military uniform. Do you know how embarrassing it is to put your life on the line for the country and then walk into a jail cell and everybody's looking at you in your uniform? And then they're looking at your queen behind you. And then you standing there getting fingerprinted in your uniform. You taking a mugshot in your uniform, the same uniform that I just got done taking a picture by the flag for. You know how disrespectful that is to everything that I put my life on the line for? You know how hard it is to sit there and watch your wife get fingerprinted in front of you, take a mugshot in front of you, and there's really no words that you can really say to console her because she's going through her own process? When they called my wife up there, they didn't even recognize my wife because they lied about how much she weighed, how tall she was. They lied. They said, ma'am, this don't even fit your description. But we had to go through the process anyway. So she wound up calling her aunt, who happens to be a lawyer. We wind up getting out on bail. Now, mind you, during the story, there was one person that stood up, was Jamel's mother. She said, what are you doing to them? They haven't done nothing wrong. The officer gets up off of me, pushes her, and says, if you don't get your black A back, you can go to jail with them. That was the same woman who picked us up the next morning. The next morning, we go back to my unit because I told EMS I didn't want them to touch us because I didn't want you to wipe off the evidence of what you did to us. So we go back to Moncrief Hospital. We go to the ER to get checked out. They had to open up the curtains in the ER because I had so much pepper spray on me that the doctor couldn't work on me because it was bothering him. He checked out my bruises. After we left Moncrief Hospital, we went back to the police station. We went to the Internal Affairs station. Now, mind you, I'll send you the documents. The documents was posted on my Instagram so people can read the story for themselves. You ain't got to believe me. You can read the Internal Affairs statement for yourself and come up with your own conclusion because I don't need to convince truth. Truth is just truth. That's why I can continue telling the same story, and it's always the same story because the truth don't change. So when we got to the Internal Affairs,
well, let me ask you this, bro. Let me ask you this. Not to cut you off, but I mean we're used to a dialogue. Yeah, we're used to a dialogue. You know, on this program, and you are absolutely telling a dynamic encounter. Like this is what I'm going to ask. Like because I want to go back to North Carolina, right? So you were in military training. This happened in North Carolina. What part of North Carolina?
South
you mentioned
Carolina.
Being
South Carolina.
Okay, South Carolina. But you mentioned being a semi-pro football player for the Carolina Titans. How far had you been? Like, I'm trying to understand a timeline here. What year was this in South Carolina? And what?
I got a
2005.
Yes, sir.
And so you also mentioned the officer being, for those who may not be familiar, right, you mentioned that this is the same officer that flipped over the student at the desk at Spring Valley High. I remember the young lady who was flipped out of the desk. But for those who may not be familiar, Hot Chocolate, are you familiar with, do you remember that situation?
When
the officer flipped the young lady out of the desk. But hey, also I also want to bring Madam CeeLo Boston live out of Charlotte into the discussion as well. What's going on, Boston? Welcome to the show.
Hey, Bob.
2005.
Hey, Queen.
Doing well. 2005. Spring Valley High School. Do you all remember that situation where the officer flipped the young black girl out of the desk? I just want to close the gap here for those who may not be familiar with this.
Yes, because I think, isn't it, while she wouldn't put her cell phone away, so they called the resource officer in?
Mm-hmm.
That's right.
I think that's exactly what happened.
Yeah, so I wanted to connect the dots here, right, because I remember the cell phone being a part of that situation. So when he started talking about the cell phone and how they took the cell phone and started deleting the pictures, I'm like, wait a minute. Like, there's some common thread here, right?
Mm-hmm.
And the handling, right? I mean, that officer was pulled in and he had an issue with the cell phone. So, you know, didn't want to interrupt you, bro, but trying to connect the dots for the listeners and those who are just actually tuning in. It's 9:27. Go ahead and pick up, King Jaquel.
You're fine. I'm here for you. Anytime you need to ask a question, go ahead, bro. It's not a problem. To make a long story short, the internal affairs officer looked at him like he was crazy because of the things that he stated. But sometimes in America, when you're used to getting away with whatever you get away with, you're cocky about what you do, so why you got to hide it? 4 years later, fast forwarding, I go to the NAACP, the South Carolina branch, and I asked them for help. They asked me how much money was I donating. Now, I'm not talking about the main branch of the NAACP, because sometimes you can have the main branch, and you can have the main trunk, but then the branches don't do exactly what the creation of the NAACP supports. But the South Carolina branch was like, how much money are you donating? I said, excuse me? I'm cool. I'm all right. I reached out to the ACLU. I reached out to the Cochran firm. I reached out to the Rainbow Push. I reached out to all these different organizations, and I didn't know what I was going to do because the military turned their back on me. The military treated me as if I were Rodney King of the hospital. I got blackballed. I received Article 15. They tried to wrongfully send me to Korea. They did all these different – they threw my food away, just all different type of hell I was going through. And then my court date finally came. When my court date finally came, we were found not guilty on all charges. The officer lied so bad that he almost committed perjury on the stand, and the judge is damn near in tears. Moving forward,
yikes.
I go to the civil suit. I got tricked out my civil suit, so I've never had a civil case for my court case. Because how do you tell America that the people that are protecting their country are still getting assaulted and abused by the police? It's not a good message. So what they did was Mr. John Mobley said, hey, if you drop the assault charge, we're going to make so much money over here. This is the deal on the table. So take the deal. I said, hey, can I call my mother first? He said, no, you ain't got time for that. You need to take this deal. Now, mind you, I knew my mother's money situation, right? She just got done paying $10,000 for this man to represent me in the criminal case. So we didn't have no money to get representation for the civil suit. So I'm trusting this lawyer that he's supposed to do the job that he said he's going to do, and he's a brother. As soon as I signed that paperwork, they threw my case out. And I asked him, bro, I never asked you to throw my case out. Why did you get my case dismissed? So I was tricked into signing something, and that's why I never seen my day in court. Now, my ex, when she had her day in court, they said, oh, you can't go to her court case. You can't wear your uniform. I got beat up in my uniform. What you mean I can't wear my uniform? So I went to her court case in my uniform because how could I not be a part of her court case when she came out to protect me and took photos of me being abused? And then she got abused, assaulted by the police for taking pictures. The same thing everyone's doing today by recording. Videos in 2005 wasn't that big of a deal. That's so if anybody wants to know, hey, well, why did you guys didn't record it? Because videos wasn't popping the way it's popping now. This is 2005. You got to understand she had a flip phone.
Right. No video.
Right.
Hey, bro, one thing you – let's go. I want to go back to one thing you said. You said you went to the NAACP, and the NAACP asked you if you were going to make a donation. So I didn't want to glance over that. So, because – ultimately, you're saying that you went for help. You had clearly a legitimate case, and they didn't want to take the case without a significant donation, which is almost like paying for a lawyer, right? Is that what you're saying to us? Is that what you're implying about the NAACP here?
I'm telling you the God honest truth on my soul that they said how much money you donated. Excuse me, sir? How much money are you donating?
Yeah,
thank you very much.
Excuse me.
Right. Bro, that was so
crazy. Hey, we're talking.
You know, think about it. When we grow up in school, we hear about the NAACP. We hear about all the amazing things that they've done. So I'm like, man, I know I'm going to be blessed. I know they're going to take care of me. Now, I'm not saying the main branch of the NAACP. I'm talking about the extension. The South Carolina extension.
Yeah, an extension. Absolutely.
Yeah.
So the extension.
No,
the
absolutely. I just wanted to call that out. I wanted to call it out for that particular reason. But the NAACP has been a staple in our community, but it has changed over the years. In the last, 15, 20 years, it has gone from being a place where we run to for refuge to it's become more of what has just been described right here. Our special guest tonight, ladies and gentlemen, King Jaquel Martin. He will continue his powerful story. Your girl has gone to court. You're told that you cannot attend in your uniform. I'm not following. Why not?
So, because we were going through our divorce in that process, because we're young, we just got assaulted by the police. She felt like I couldn't protect her. PTSD, trauma, and everything else. So because we were going our separate ways or whatever else, they tried to divide and conquer. Because if we knew the game that they were playing, they wouldn't have been able to do that. You see what I'm saying? And that's why I'm so proud of Colin Kaepernick for starting to know your rights, because that's something that we need to know. So that way people can't bamboozle you, because they all work together. Now, this is going to get real deep, bro. I'm going to blow your mind with this. I promise you. When I showed up to the court case in my uniform, the head judge, the judge admitted to knowing the head juror. I'm going to say that one more time. The judge admitted to knowing the head juror. He said the head juror's dad helped build the courthouse. Well, I thought regulation, I might not be the smartest person, but the judge ain't supposed to know nobody in the jury pool.
At all. He should recuse himself.
Yeah, absolutely.
Mm-hmm. Or replace the juror.
The judge knew the head juror, not a regular juror, but the head juror, the one who reads off the verdict.
Wow.
His dad built the courthouse, and the judge admitted it.
Right.
Blew my mind.
Wow.
She lost her court case because they said that she was too close when she took the pictures on the flip phone.
Wow.
Not because she used it as a weapon, not because she attacked the officer, not because, because remember, we were already found not guilty. So if we're found not guilty on all charges, how you lose a civil suit then? Because that means we didn't do nothing wrong. If we didn't do nothing wrong, how do you lose a civil suit? But see, they've been trying to bury my case for so long. That's why I'm grateful for your station, bro. You can only bury the truth for so long, bro. And now God is allowing different things to happen to rise up for change to come. And that time is now. And I thank you guys for being a part of this journey. Y'all just don't know. But y'all, get ready. Because something big's going to happen. I promise you. And I'm grateful for your platform. so grateful.
No, we're grateful for you, bro. I mean, and sharing the story, right? I mean, that's why we've had this platform and we've had it for so long. I mean, because people are able to come and share with our audience. I mean, the fact that we have people listening, you know, in places like, you know, Iraq and Baghdad, it blows our minds, the little places that people are listening from. So, I mean, you said it, right? I mean, anytime that, you know, you can share a story, it's helping other people who, one, think that they're going through situations like this on their own. Because although black men are getting harassed and killed in the U.S. every day, there's still people who feel like, you know, their experience is isolated. And you know, a lot of times people aren't able to share, right? So their voices are suppressed. You just said that they've been trying to suppress your story, suppress your case, right? And so, I mean, folks, wherever you are, and you have a story or you want to weigh in or you want to speak to King Jaquel, hit us up, 917-889-3926, 917-889-3926. Wow. You want to continue sharing, Ro? Or anybody have questions you want to jump in?
I'm open to questions. Well, I can keep going, let me know.
So after, like, okay, so once you got to the was her case the end? Was her the end of her case? The end of the cases all together, or did it continue after that?
Well, I continued my fight to try to get a look at the United States Supreme Court, but the United States Supreme Court try cases when they want to try cases. My case still hasn't been heard or tried. And the crazy thing about it is, the solicitor that was over my case, Mr. Dan Johnson, he just got done going to prison for 50. I think it was like 50 counts of fraud. Ben Fields just got in trouble again for assaulting that young lady. There's a lot of stuff going on in Richland County that it's under federal investigation. And that's why I said you can only bury the truth for so long, because eventually whatever seeds you plant, it has to come to the light. And it's that time to shine on.
Wow.
So she lost her court case.
So
I don't blame her. She was tired of fighting. Go ahead, brother. What's your question?
No. You just said it. So she also ultimately lost the case. She lost her case. You lost your case as well, even though you both were found not guilty on all charges. So the judge did not recuse herself. Was it a he or she? I'm sorry, the judge.
It was a male judge admitted knowing the head juror in her court case. I've never had a trial.
Gotcha.
I got my trial. By signing that paper that the lawyer told me to sign, they threw my case out without my permission, without me not knowing,
your
because
civil
I didn't
case.
Know the law.
Gotcha.
My civil case.
Gotcha.
Yes, sir.
Yep.
Wow.
Yep. Wow.
So I'm still waiting for my
day. You're still waiting for your day as it relates to your civil case.
Yes, sir. Never had a trial. Would love a trial.
Wow.
So what's the likelihood of that from your perspective? So do you currently have a lawyer that's working on that, or are you looking for something to be overturned? Like, what's the likelihood of the civil case being that you signed the document?
It's very likely, because, one, that's a malpractice suit. Two, the officers are still getting in trouble, and they're under federal investigation. The officer who beat me up, Benjamin Fields, just assaulted another young lady. So you know how you can open up cases and start looking at officers' history?
Right.
That's the exact same thing that can happen to me. But, you know, God says, not my time, not your time, baby. I got you, son. On my time. So my time coming. I can't tell you today, but I know that I'm going to keep, I'm gonna keep following his footprints. I know that. How do you think I got here?
Yeah,
there
no, I love
any
it.
Statute,
absolutely.
Limitation rules?
They do have statutes of limitation, but even with statute of limitations, what happens is with those different officers, have you ever seen a person go to prison and then all of a sudden those officers start getting in trouble, or that police department getting in trouble, and then they start opening up all cases?
Yeah.
Well, because they're under federal investigation, well, guess whose case is in there too? I've been sitting here in all these files waiting on you to see me. And that day's coming.
Yeah.
Wow.
Bro, let's fast forward to now, right? I mean, I mentioned that you recently received an award for A War on Friendly Ground. Let's talk about that along with some of the things that you've done and what you are doing. Because, I mean, you author, actor, motivational speaker. Let's talk about the film itself.
Okay. Before I get to the film, can I do one thing? Because I want to just talk about the lady who changed my life. Because somebody might say, hey, how
yes,
did
sir.
You
go,
from
go for
where
it.
You was at to where you are? Okay, so my mom.
Yeah, I'm looking at time, and I'm trying to pace the time that we have left here, brother. Absolutely.
Got you. No problem. My mom is my hero. She moved in with me. She took me to this place called CEO Space. When I went to CEO Space, this white lady walked up on me, and she touched me on my stomach and my forehead. And I'm like, I don't know you. Why are you touching me? But I didn't say that to be disrespectful, right? So she said, baby, you don't know who you are yet, do you? I said, ma'am. She says, you got to give birth to that. I said, what are you talking about? You got to give birth to that. She said, you play sports? I said, yes, ma'am. She said, who's your favorite basketball player? I said, Kobe Bryant. She said, tell me about Kobe. 81 points, 62 versus Dallas, 81 versus Toronto, 5 championships. He went to Laura Merion High School. She said, oh, my God, you know a lot about Kobe. She said, what's your stats? I said, ma'am. She said, you heard me. She said, you mean to tell me that God gave you the gift of life and you know everything about Kobe, but you don't know what you're supposed to be doing for yourself?
Wow.
I said, oh, my God. She said, right. Look around. And I want everybody in the audience to look around. Everything that you see is somebody else's dream. And if you always participate in everyone else's dream, who participates in your dream? And when did their dream become more important than your dream? Ain't it crazy how you go to a 9-to-5 for somebody else's dream, but you won't work for the same 9-to-5 for your dream? You could be more disciplined for someone else's plantation, but you don't want to create your own business because a business and a plantation have the same structure. Slave driver, master. You want to be manager. CEO. So the question is, which plantation are you going to work today for? Is it Google or is it McDonald's?
Is there?
She says, I want you to understand something, baby. You got to understand how to think because you don't get it. She says, I'm not being disrespectful, but I need you to understand the game of life and how this is constructed. What's constructed is most wealthy people that are white look at most minorities as no more than the jester in the king's court because they dominate everything that they do, but they own nothing. So while you praising Kobe with his 5 championship rings, the Buff family, who ain't got to make a basket or do anything, can leave his children $5. Who's winning in the equation? You got to start owning stuff, baby. You got to start owning land. You got to start taking your kingness seriously and become a creator, which you have always been because that was your gift. So this is what motivated me, changed my mind, because I've never had a conversation like that before. I've never heard words like that before. So I moved to California. And on the way to California, I drove my truck. Shout out to all my Army buddies who said my truck wouldn't make it. When I finally got there, I started acting. And when I started acting, I booked a Bank of America commercial, and I did the voiceover for it, you know, and then I was in it. And then after that, I met Mr. Mosley, who told me to come down to L.A. I moved to L.A. I started doing security because, you know, you got to have multiple hustles in L.A., right? And when I was doing security, I was in a room with all these celebrities that I see on TV. And I was like, oh, my God, look where I'm at. Man, I don't want them to see me as a security guard. What is wrong, man? Come on, bro. I want them to see me as an actor because I know that's where my destiny is. And God said, what is wrong with you? Are you tripping? So you can't even see the blessing that you asked for. You was at the house, and now you in the room. If you carry yourself like a security guard, they're going to look at you like one. But if you carry yourself in the destiny that I told you was going to be, that's where you're going to be. I said, oh, man, my bad, God. Let me get this stuff right. So then my boy said, I wrote a book. I wrote a book called A War on Friendly Ground. And I wrote a book because I did an interview with Nessa from Hot 97. She blessed me after I did the interview with Jake Tapper. And Jake Tapper kind of, he asked me a question. He said, if you saw the officer again, what would you say? I said, I forgive him. But see, my people, sometimes in my culture, don't understand what I mean by that. Because they look at forgiveness as a weakness. They thought the forgiveness was about the officer, but they didn't understand my forgiveness was for me. I'm still angry. I'm still mad. I still have PTSD. It still hurts every time I see a black person die, get choked out, get shot. It hurts. But I needed to take this energy that I have and put it in something constructive. So I put it into the book because the book will last longer than a gunshot. The book will last longer than a punch. The book will last forever. See, I'm playing a different game. I'm fighting back, but I'm fighting back in a different way. But I couldn't fight back without the forgiveness. The forgiveness gave me the power to do what I'm doing today. Because if you don't forgive, that means you're carrying that dead weight with you everywhere you go. And you wonder why you can't operate at the potential that you have. Because sometimes you got to let things go from your past to be able to get to your future. So mm-hmm. in the forgiveness, guess what? My boy Jeff, who played Tupac in the Death Row Chronicles, said, yo, I'm finna go to NYFA. I'm finna be a screenwriter. I was like, yo, bro, I wrote a book. I'm finna go to NYFA. I'm gonna be a screenwriter with you too. Until I got the knife and I found out how much writers got to write. I said, oh, no, the devil is a lie. That is not to me.
Sorry.
I do not like that. So I went over to the directing program. And when I started directing, I said, oh, this is my lane right here. So I started making movies that God gave me because I don't want, bro, we got our hood stories, but we're more than just hood stories. We are intelligent. Right. We are creators. Our sisters are beautiful, but yet they get put under this microscope and they get this negative image, the angry black woman, da-da-da. Bro, if you've been through what she's been through, do you understand that she had a right to be angry? If you was raped, if you was had to breastfeed somebody else's children, if you was taken advantage of, if your kids was taken from you, how would you feel?
Right.
But we ain't gonna go into, we're not gonna go too deep into that, right? So let's go back to the film. So now I created Evolution of Slavery. It was a silent film. After I created Evolution of Slavery, I said, you know what? I'm gonna tell my story. Shout out to Ryan Coogler, who made Fruitvale Station. And I'm going to turn my story not only to an award-winning short, I'm going to turn it into a feature film, too. And the pitch is Fruitvale Station meets Pursuit of Happiness. Shout out to Will Smith.
Mm.
So as I'm going to school, I get an audition for Ballers. And I'm like, man, I got an audition for Ballers. They said, you got a rap. I said, I got a what?
Mm-hmm.
I'm no rapper, but I got bars. So I go in to audition, and I do the little rap or whatever else, and then I do my line, right? I go back to school, and I'm in school this whole time. I don't hear nothing. I forgot all about it. I did the audition for Ballers. My manager calls me, and she said, hey, King, have you heard the news? I said, what? She said, you need to get on the phone with your agent. We're going to call you both at 3 o'clock. I said, oh, man, they're going to let me go. I got to go find another agent, another manager, get some more headshots, get back on the LA Hustle. All good. Don't even worry about it. So 3 o'clock came, and they called me. They said, King, we want to tell you. I said, I'm fired. She said, what? You book Ballers. I said, what you say? I'm fired? She said, no, you're not fired. You book Ballers. I booked what?
Right.
So I'm doing my dance in the middle of the street. I don't care who looking. I'm acting a fool because God is good. Now watch this. When I booked Ballers, guess what Ballers was at, y'all?
Hmm.
The same place I was doing security at. Hey, look at God, bro.
Wow.
The same place I was a security guard at, bro. Look at God, bro. The same room I was complaining about being in, he put me in. The same people that I was going to work with was the same ones that walked me to my trailer. Come on, man.
Right. Right.
Come on. And now I get to be an inspiration to the security because how'd you do it? I said, all you got to do is continue being consistent. So now I get to share my testimony with other security guards so that way they can change their life from where they at because that's not where they wanted to be. And they get
right.
to see that it's a reality and that it can happen. Now it gets even deeper. Shout out to everybody on HBO Ballers, man. Shout out to Chris Lofton. Shout out to London. Shout out to Donovan. Shout out to the Rob Wise who booked me. Shout out to everybody on Ballers. Now on HBO Ballers, season 4, episode 10, they did a Ballers was one of the top shows on HBO, right? Watch how they did this. They did season 4, episode 10. They did kind of like a Know Your Rights episode, and they're talking about the Shut Up and Dribble situation on Ballers. Now, usually Hollywood don't talk about stuff like that. When they found out who I was, y'all, guess what I did on Ballers? I went over to the creator and said, hey, I told him my story. He said, wait, that's you? You're the soldier? I said, yes, sir, and I just want to thank you for telling the truth on Ballers because I didn't think a person like you would care about somebody like me. And I'm so grateful for HBO for what they did for me and my life. Thank you for telling the truth. Thank you for loving on my people. Thank you for showing that on one of the biggest shows on HBO ever. I appreciate you. Guess what happened next? I wound up having a book signing on Ballers. So the same people that I was binge-watching, the same people I was praising about their acting and how talented and amazing they were, I was signing books for them, y'all.
Mm.
Look at God,
bro. I'm signing books on Ballers on a show that I did security at that I was complaining about. But he turned it
right.
around where, no, now I'm on HBO Ballers. Now I'm doing a book signing for him. Oh, man, you can't tell me nothing about my journey. You can't shut me up because I'm too grateful. Because
right.
I used to have PTSD. I used to have PTSD, right? And I still got it. And what I mean by that is, God, why didn't you take me? Because I still
right.
see my people dying. Am I not doing enough? What's going on, God? I'm not understanding. He said, man, I'm using you to speak for the voices. So when people hear me speak, it has nothing to do with me. I'm just a vessel. See, I got to get ego out the way so he can use me. Because sometimes when we start thinking it's us, that's why we fall down. But if we keep God first, we can get right back up.
Mm-hmm.
Okay. We about to have a little fun. Okay. So after all of this happened, right, I submit the film into film festivals. Shout out to my co-director, Deontay Gray. Shout out to my editor, Tori the Genius Johnson, Thompson. Shout out to my boy, Skeeter Jones, who shot it. Shout out to the cast and crew and everybody that worked on it. I submitted to the festivals. Like, man, I hope it's going to be all right. All of a sudden, I'm at 22 festivals. I went from zero to 22. The wins ain't right. Stopped coming. Now, look, don't get it twisted,
bro, tell people how tell people how they can follow you. You say you've been in 22 festivals. Tell people how they can actually follow you on social right now.
Man, you can find me at King Jaquel Martin on Instagram and on Facebook. That's KingJaquelMartin. King Jaquel Martin.
You have anything on YouTube?
Yeah, you can go on YouTube and you can see the trailer. And you can see, you can find the trailer on YouTube. Just type in A Warm Friendly Ground. And if you want to check out the book, just type in awarmfriendlygrounds.com. You can buy the book. It's 5-star rated on Amazon.
And I'm 5-star like, rated on Amazon, folks. Go ahead, bro.
Yeah, I went from being assaulted and wrongfully facing 10 years in jail for the color of my skin to being where I am right now. And so I'm going to give y'all a little teaser from the movie. At the end, I wanted to ask a question because you say you got people from all around the world listening to this platform. So at the end of the movie, I said, America, aren't you tired of seeing this? I put my life on the line for a country that doesn't love me back because of the color of my skin. My question to you, America, is the flag a lie? Is the flag a lie? Because the flag claims to represent freedom, liberty, and justice for all. That means all races, including black. But does it? Because I ain't seen freedom yet. I ain't got to liberty yet. And I'm still waiting for my justice. I got some questions for you, America, because I love you. I just want to see if you love me back.
Bro, wow. your story is super duper powerful. I say, you know, congratulations on your ability to stay resilient because of your faith as it relates to that case, right? I mean, you just say you're on standby. Because of the behaviors of those current officers, you know for a fact something is going to turn around. So my question to you, I'll tell you, bro, you're powerful. And very rarely do I let somebody just kind of, you know, come on and just rip. I mean, dude, you made it very easy. You asked yourself questions, you asked us questions, and you answered all the damn questions that you asked yourself. You know what I'm saying? So listen, this was super easy for us. Yes. But the one question that I will ask is, you know, where do you see yourself a year from now?
I see myself speaking into everyone's lives and helping us all look in the mirror. I ain't here to change nobody. I just want you to look in the mirror and question your own morals, bro. And if everybody can do that, we can change the world one day at a time because it's all about unity. It's all about every color under the rainbow. So I got to – can I do a quote, bro? Is that okay?
Go for it. Go for it.
What makes a rainbow beautiful? Is it not the diversity of colors? If that's true, is mankind's kryptonite making one color better than the next? And if that happens, is it still a rainbow? I think not. So why are we destroying and killing lives with invisible lines of hate when we all can just choose love? And the last quote is, if you die today, would you get an A+ on life's report card? Now, only you know the answer to that question. But if God, your higher power, or whatever you want to call it, blesses you to see tomorrow, you better live like it's extra credit because tomorrow's not promised. So you got to be great. Every breath you take, because it could be your last. Just look in the mirror.
Facts.
Thank you.
Facts. Each and every day we walk out of our door, it could be the last. Absolutely. Great, great poem. Ladies and gentlemen, our guest tonight, King Jaquel Martin. Follow him on IG. Follow him on Clubhouse. Follow him on Facebook, follow him on YouTube. Hey, we're taking this conversation over to Clubhouse shortly. And man, we will lean in a little bit more. Man, the story is very interesting, but it is representative of what we experience in the United States every day as African-American men. You know, the one thing I heard, you know, Jaquel say was that, you know, the officer should have been looking for a white male. So how he ended up behind a black male trying to enter his home is beyond, you know, me. But it's typical of what we have to deal with here in the United States of America. Listen, your voice, your story is power. Your voice, your story needs to be heard. And that's why these type of platforms exist. It's 9:55, 6:55 in California. But we are about to take the conversation over to Clubhouse momentarily. So follow us over there. Hot Chocolate CeeLo, any closing questions for King Jaquel?
No, I'm going to hold it for Clubhouse.
Okay, that's fine.
Yeah. I got one more gem before we go to Clubhouse. Then I got one more gem for y'all.
Yes, sir.
Isn't it crazy how America is the home where certain people get to be free, but black people got to wake up brave? I'm gonna let that sit.
Wow.
Yeah, America is the home where certain people get to be free, but we got to wake up brave every day.
Every damn day.
Killed in our sleep. We get killed eating ice cream. We get killed with our babies in the back. Slavery has not gone anywhere. We're just living in the evolution of it. It's just dressed up a little differently.
Right.
Absolutely. Man, your share about the NAACP, you know, and them not taking on the case and needing a donation. Again, folks, you know, he stated it, right? It's not the national NAACP. It's a local chapter of the NAACP. You know, and the flip side is this, as I thought about this, and I certainly don't want to bash, you know, the NAACP, right? But this is what I will say. The NAACP, because I've been a member, I've been also a leader in a local chapter. We are only as effective as our pocketbook is, right? We are only as effective as the money that we have in our account. And so when you think about, you know, what I mentioned earlier, the NAACP has changed over the years. And think about why it's changed. It's changed because a lot of people who used to support it, our grandparents, where are they? Many of them are dead and gone, right? And so when their money no longer flows into the organization, the organization can't support cases like King Jaquel for free. So they need money. They need funds. You know what I'm saying? And so, you know, I can't speak on behalf of that chapter in South Carolina because it seems like that chapter may have issues anyway just based on what's going on in the area. But if you want to see local chapters be able to support things like this, you got to be able to give because it costs money. Okay, and I'll just balance that out, you know, with the fact that, you know, they asked for a donation.
Hey, and I'll say this: it ain't a race thing. That's why I can bring up the NAACP. It's just about a right thing. Right is right. It's all that's wrong, bro. And I just have one question for my people. When did we become so damn comfortable that we forgot about all the people that lost their lives for us to have the comforts that we have today? You got people who died. You got people who marched. You got people who went to jail and went back out and marched again. When did we get so comfortable in our comforts that we have? Because the comforts that we have was because of someone else's sacrifice. I'm going to leave that there so y'all can chew on it. Let's go to Clubhouse.
No, that's real stuff right there, brother. Yeah, absolutely. Ladies and gentlemen, King Jaquel, hey, we are headed over to Clubhouse right now for anybody who wants to follow us over. It's the Social Lab Team Hammer Radio. We are out of here, folks. Hey, bro, you are welcome here anytime. You officially family to this show, bro. We'll catch you over at Clubhouse.
And if anyone is still interested, United States
CM Hyman Live Talk Radio Show. CM Hyman Live Talk Radio Show. CM Hyman Live Talk Radio Show. Talk radio show.
Real talk.
CM Hyman Live. CM Hyman Live. CM Hyman Live. Talk radio show. CM Hyman Live. CM Hyman Live. CM Hyman Live. Talk radio show. CM Hyman Live. CM Hyman Live. CM Hyman Live.